Hello everyone, I'm Jonathan Carter.
And I'm James Senior.
And today we're here to talk about the Web Application Toolkits that was just launched today.
But before you do, it's worth also mentioning about the new release on Microsoft.com/web, which is the Web Platform Installer.
So for those of us in the audience who aren't familiar with the Web Platform Installer, what is it in a nutshell?
I like to think of it as our one-stop shop to get the web stack from Microsoft. So I'm not just talking about IIS and a database, I'm talking about the framework, .NET, and also a host of tools and sample applications that you can use to get going. It's pretty cool. It all comes down in one download, very easy to set up, and it keeps on updating automatically too.
Okay, so WebPI basically makes a developer's life easier setting up their machine.
I love it. I mean, I'm always rebuilding my machine with Beta bits, all that kind of jazz, and to have a downloader which gets it all in one place, it's fantastic.
All right, very cool. So today when we think about the web toolkits, that kind of extends the idea of making a developer's life easier, but in the web space, so saying, what are some common problems that developers have, and how are easy solutions we can provide them in the source of assets, guidance, documentation, and so forth?
Precisely. I like to think of it as going from zero to F5 in 60 seconds, getting from, a, you know...
60 seconds?
Yeah, 60 seconds. So what we do is we basically provide you a downloadable executable. You extract that out to your machine, and then you've got source code, which you can load into Visual Studio, both in VB and in C#. And then press F5, and you're good to go. You've got an example of how to solve a common web developer's problem.
Awesome. So how many are we releasing today at launch?
I've got seven.
Seven, okay. So let's go ahead and spend the next 10 minutes or so discussing these seven and then see how they can help the viewers out there.
I think that's a fantastic idea.
All right, so the first one here, what does this one do, James?
Oh, Bing Search. I mean, it's the decision engine for the future, present and future.
Okay. Explain, please.
So when you want to incorporate search into your web apps, one of the ways you can do that is with APIs. Right. So Bing, for example, has a REST API which you can query once you've got your application ID. And then you can pull back results. I'm not talking just about search results here in text form. I'm talking about images, I'm talking about Q&A, various different types of search results. And you can make your applications more rich by bringing those in. So what we've done in this particular web app toolkit is include some web controls, which will make it nice and easy to bring in, for example, images in a nice way.
Right.
And text strings and things like that. We've also included another sample, which is enabled to make your search results more interactive. So we've used MS Ajax library to make a more rich presentation for the users, and also a bit of jQuery to select the DOM example. So for example, flex items in the DOM.
Nice. So if someone's looking to integrate with Bing, they can pull this down and get up to speed pretty quick.
Precisely. That's the idea. Zero to 60, or zero to F5 in 60 seconds.
Nice. All right. So the next one is a problem or a thing that many developers end up needing if you're building an application of any type, dynamic templated-driven emails. Right. So whether you want to send an email confirming an account creation, forgot password, you know, typically you probably want to have some template and then some data placeholders that you can easily generate and then send to your consumers of your web app.
It's a very common task. So how do we make it easy to do?
So in this case, what we've done is we've provided two things, assets in the form of a few classes that enable you to, in one line of code, say literally email.send, pass a to, a from, subject, and then also a template that determines how the email is generated. The template in this case is an XSLT file. Now also, there's a sample application that, as you can see in the screenshot, will then allow you to generate code and see examples of how to use it in numerous different scenarios. So it works for both even static text. So if you don't need templated driven emails, but you just kind of want a simpler API for sending emails in general, it has that. And then if varying levels of complexity with the emails in terms of how much logic you need or just basic data interpolation, it can do that, and it'll show you samples as well.
Fantastic. I just keep on creating the same code over and over and again when I'm doing email functionality, so this will be really useful for me to drop into my apps.
Exactly.
Excellent. Social applications. So
yeah, so social networking and media is a big catch thing, and everybody's talking about it.
Everybody's on Facebook, everybody's on Twitter, on Windows Live, on MySpace. I mean, it is all the rage, and in fact, it's a good way of harnessing traffic to bring them to your web applications, your websites.
That's true.
So from the business point of view, I mean, why wouldn't you want more people on your websites? It's a good thing.
Right.
One of the ways you can do that is tap into these social networks. And so, for example, Facebook has an API which allows you to put items into their feed, but that can create a problem in itself. There's more noise in that feed, so you're less likely to get the results you want and the people coming to your website. So what we think is a good way of using social networks is actually harnessing the power of IM, instant messaging. And so Messenger, for example, has got a load of users, and we've released a library which makes it really easy to connect to those users who are off your website and actually bring them to your website. And we do that in the form of a couple of things. So overall, we've got the Messenger Web Toolkit, which comprises a load of UI controls, which basically will drop onto your website one line of code, and that enables a whole host of functionality.
Wow.
Behind the scenes, what's happening is that is calling another component of the Messenger Web Toolkit, which is the Messenger Library, which is a really slick set of JavaScript APIs, which allow you to communicate with the Messenger service with the appropriate application ID. So in this particular web application toolkit, what we've done is built a sample called AdventureWorks Pulse, which is a photo sharing website, and it incorporates some of the UI controls and also some of the more complex aspects of the Messenger Library to make your application more social and get people to come to that website.
So, real quick, do we have an idea of how many users are on Messenger? That when we say you can bring these people to your web app and we drive that social media aspect, what's the audience size,
so,
give or take?
Yeah, so every month there's 330 million users on Messenger.
Ooh.
So there's a huge amount of people.
Right.
So it's very popular across the world. It's number one instant messaging service out there. The other cool thing that it allows you to do is create networks and social interactivity on your site. So I've just described how you can get your friends to come, but also you can meet new friends by using the Messenger Web Toolkit on the site that you didn't already know. So you can start to friend people who have similar interests to you, for example.
So this one sounds like a big win.
It's a win.
Awesome. So another big thing next to social media is
mobile web applications.
Mobile applications. Every company, if you're going to succeed in today's economy, you have to have a mobile version of your web app.
Oh, yeah.
And in turn, you have to customize that to work nicely based on the individual phones.
There's a lot of them out there.
Windows Mobile, BlackBerry, so forth. So what we did with this toolkit is we said, if you were developing an ASP.NET MVC application today, and you were wanting to take into consideration having a mobile form, what are the assets that you need to do that easily? So in the form of MVC, that is a custom view engine that allows you to easily define custom views for each of your pages that are served specifically for iPhone, Windows Mobile, so forth. We also have a sample application called Plan My Night that shows exactly how to build a standard web app using all the skills you know today, and then easily make small modifications where needed to say, oh, to give a better experience for the iPhone or Windows Mobile, for instance, we're customized just this view, and then it'll just work. So the reason that works so good is we're using the mobile browser definition file that Microsoft has released.
We announced that at Mix, right?
Yep, we announced that at Mix, and so we use that in the application sample, and that takes pretty much all the work out of it. We don't have to guess if the incoming request is a Windows Mobile phone or an iPhone. It's going to take care of all that for us. So it's literally as easy as a few lines of code and whatever UI tweaks you want to make, and there's no excuse not to do web applications for mobile.
And what's the difference between different platforms? I mean, do we make it really easy for people to target all of them at once with one code base?
Yeah, so the code base itself would be completely consistent across all the platforms. The only thing that you can choose to do differently is kind of the UI.
Right.
So there's customizations for an iPhone application, for instance, that you can make to make a web app look like a native application. And the computer just died.
Have we run out of time?
Yeah, it's dead.
And we're back. Sorry about that, viewers, but Jonathan made the cardinal mistake of mentioning the I,
my bad,
inside a Microsoft building, and anytime that happens, all electronic equipment in the vicinity shuts down immediately. We like to call it the wrath of Balmer. But anyway, where were we?
I think we should just move on at this point, James.
Let's just move on and forget it. Put it behind us.
So Mobile Web App Toolkit is good.
We're
Look
done.
It out, yeah.
REST services. I mean, REST services is pretty much mandatory for any website these days.
Right.
I always like to talk about Twitter. I mean, have you heard about Twitter?
I think I've heard one or two things about Twitter.
Excellent. It's a good job you have, because that's a website that has really been built, you know, the success of that has been built upon its services that it provides to developers. I mean, without that, it wouldn't be much. I mean, we've got so many applications that surround Twitter, like TweetDeck, Seismic, all of those things, and loads of other websites that consume the services.
And these are REST services.
And they're all REST services. So it really is kind of something you need to think about when you're creating your web apps. How am I going to provide other developers ways to access data, to put data in, to pull data out, all that kind of stuff. And so in this web toolkit, what we've done is a really simple example of how to consume data using WCF and getting it out in a REST service.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Enough said, really.
Yeah, might as well just move on and leave it at that.
FAQs. This is the favorite part of any website. I love it.
Yeah, that it is. It's the litmus test. You go to a new website and you say, where's the FAQ at, right?
Or the help section.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's one and the same.
Sometimes they're the same thing.
But anyway, I digress.
Yeah, so we all know FAQs are common. It's one of those things where, once again, we talk about, I don't want to write the same functionality over and over again, boilerplate type stuff, just feels unnecessary. So what the FAQ toolkit does is it provides you, out of the box, a Visual Studio template that you can create a new application with.
File new.
And you can automatically have a very nice, feature-rich, Ajax-up, JavaScript client-friendly, RESTful FAQ.
That's a lot of technology crammed in such a small space.
Well, that was the objective.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. But for real, so it gives you a great FAQ experience right out of the box. Gives you SQL scripts, so if you have a database for your application, you can point it at, generate the tables necessary to provide the data for the FAQ, and then it also gives you an admin experience to enter in new FAQs. It allows customers to do ratings. They can see what are the highest rated ones, what are all the FAQs from last week. That way, if they kind of want to just see what's the latest stuff added. So it is really full-featured. It's a pretty cool toolkit. And in this case, this one is more of a provided application that you would leverage more so than guidance and documentation.
Cool. So it sounds like if I need to add a FAQ into my website, just file new, plop it in there, no problems.
Exactly.
Job done.
Ready to go.
Excellent.
So the final one.
Last but by no means least, IE8. So brand new browser, well, a little bit old now, but you know, it's our latest browser, and we've got a couple of features that are worth kind of talking about when it comes to the developers. So first of all, there's the search functionality, as you can see.
Right.
You get rich search results with pictures, images, that kind of stuff. Secondly, there's a new feature called Web Slices. Web Slices allow you to, just using a couple of HTML tags and a bit of tweaking, a bit of funkiness, create a new experience for the user where they right-click on it and then add it to the favorites bar. It's really smooth. And then accelerators, again, right-clicking, adding new functionality to IE8. So, for example, if I'm a user, I want to do a quick search on a piece of text, right-click, search with Bing. As a developer, I can add in my own functionality, my own service into that.
Nice. Are any big companies using any of these features today?
Good question. eBay is an example of a company that's using it, a pretty big auction house. Have you heard of them?
I think I heard of them after I heard of Twitter. They're like the same thing, right?
Yeah, well, kind of, but it's more like for auction stuff.
Right.
We'll talk about that afterwards.
Okay.
But eBay have used it to highlight individual items, and so they've used Web Slices.
Hmm.
You can bring them a particular item into your favorites bar and have it update automatically. So you don't have to go back to eBay, but you can keep up tabs on what the price is, do you need to make a bid, that kind of stuff.
So people that are really into doing auctions, they can just have their bids right there, full frontal.
Exactly.
That's pretty nice.
Spot on.
Cool. So that's the first seven. So other than the toolkits and the code and stuff, what other things are we providing with these toolkits when we release them?
So in terms of how do you find out more information about them, we've got a blog, which we're updating. We're talking about new releases, new web toolkits that we're bringing out. We've got a Twitter account, of course. Now you know Twitter, you can subscribe to that.
That's the first thing I'm going to do.
Absolutely. And we've also got an email address, so you can give us feedback and also ask us if you want us to make any different types of web app toolkits. We'd love to hear your feedback. So email us at webapp@microsoft.com.
And also, aren't we going to be releasing screencasts with each of these as well?
Indeed we are. We've got screencasts that match each of these seven web app toolkits, and it shows you in 5 minutes or so how to get into the code, how to get started, and some of the particulars around doing that.
Nice. So this, we kind of gave a very high-level overview, and anyone who kind of liked what they saw, there's a specific page that we'll have links to on this post. You can go to, watch a video, download the code, and they're good to go.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So I guess with that, that's the introduction of web app toolkits, and we encourage everyone to stay tuned, and we're going to be releasing more of these as the months go on.
Rock and roll.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Cheers.